You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Sam Turner, Andy Holding and Chris Pimlott in the studio. We've got racing on the turf at Ayr, two National Hunt meetings, Sedgefield and Southwell, and all weather action in the evening from Wolverhampton. Quite literally something for everybody on Tuesday. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Hey, Mark Walton. Not too bad, buddy. Not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, all right.
Good.
Not bad at all.
Good.
Had some decent enough racing the past week or so. The weekend stuff was fantastic. We've got the Arc next weekend as well. It's all good, isn't it?
Yeah, decent enough racing, said with your usual understatement there, Mark.
Yeah.
No, it has been pretty good. It's getting to that time of the year where it's bursts of brilliance in a sea of moderateness. Is that a word?
Mediocrity,
that'll do, yeah. But the bursts of brilliance are particularly enjoyable. Yeah, and as you said, got a weekend at Longchamp to look forward to. So, and as I said, Fridays and Saturdays are always good, to be fair. But Newmarket was particularly intriguing.
It was. We're going to look at some of the winners from Newmarket using the Racing Post Monday jury. We also touch on the Arc there as well. And let's get stuck into it. The first question is straight down to business as well. Is Trev unopposable in the Arc, or can she be dethroned?
Well, I'm not entirely sure they're the polar opposites of each other. Depends why you're opposing her, I suppose. I mean, she looks incredible in the Vermeer. She's very much a she's incredible or just doesn't want to know. She's just not in the mood. But this season, she's been consistently brilliant. We've only had 2 5-year-olds win the race in the past 30 years, so she's starting to get on a bit in those terms. However, you get two types of arcs. You either get a small but select field, or you get a bit of a crapshoot, a bit of a fish in a barrel. And I think it's going to be very much the former this season. I think it's going to be a really good race, and there's not going to be many in there that haven't earned their place. So she's up against the cream of the crop, but I think she will win. But I certainly could put anyone opposing her because she's odds on in a Group 1 race. That said, I do like, if you're going to be backing horses at that price, I want them to be doing something they've done before, and she's done it twice.
Yeah.
And she turns up on the day and she says, you know what, I love this. She goes on and does it again, and there's absolutely nothing that suggests she won't do it again. So, if I was essentially a flip of a coin, I would be on her side.
Okay, she's arguably better this year from what we've seen of her.
Yeah,
than she has been in recent years. Normally, she takes a couple of races to get going, and then comes good for Arc Day. She's been almost splendid in every race this year.
It's been like a 12-month victory lap already, hasn't it? Yeah, she's been running to incredible levels. I think that her first Arc win will always be just that eye-popping moment, and she'll never surpass that. But she probably won't have to. Admittedly, she's up against some talented boys. Golden Horn and New Bay both have the turn of foot to win a race of this nature and give her a real fright down the home straight. But I think she'll probably win. I certainly wouldn't back her because I'm not backing that short. Not in the Arc. Anything can happen to an extent in that race. But I would be on her side.
All right, give us half a dozen you would include in a fantasy Arc. Any horse, any era.
Yeah, well, the problem with this is I get stick on the radio on a relatively regular basis for not being a racing historian. Okay. What do you mean you don't know about this horse that was running while you were 6 months old? Well, I had other things to concentrate on, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And there's enough racing going on day to day. Sometimes I like to go home and have a break and not go back and watch reruns of races from 3 decades ago. So my fantasy Arc would be all, because I've been to the Arc I think eight times,
yeah,
seven times. So I there would be horses that I've seen run. Deep Impact would have to run, just because I want to set that, have that experience again of walking into Longchamp and thinking I've got a flight to Japan by accident.
Yeah. They really got on board. Well, there's not no Japanese run this year, which is bizarre, but last few years they've really... And Deep Impact was the first...
He was the pretty much the pinnacle, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was a real cult hero. So Deep Impact would have to run,
yeah.
Even though he was beaten. See the Stars, again, I thought that was just... It was just an incredible...
Yeah.
Incredible performance from him. Hurricane Run, because that was the first one I went to, and I remember standing under, it was absolutely leathering it down, standing under a brolly trying to get a view of Hurricane Run flashing down the centre of the course. Zarkava, because that's, I still think she was the most, but even Trev was impressive, but because I was there and I saw Zarkava do it in the flesh, that was wonderful. And I throw Yumzane in as well, because it's not an arc without an unlucky loser. And Yumzane was consistently in the second or third place. But again, most people would be... Again, if you read everyone else's in the Racing Post, they're from years and years ago. But I'm going to stick to ones I know from my own fair eyes.
You'll see him Workforce, won't you? Would he make the list?
No.
No, not good enough for Ross Briley.
No, not for me, no.
Right.
Sorry.
All right. Who is your idea of the Abbey winner next?
I think Moving Time's an incredible bet. And I think at 10-1, normally you'd say, oh, you have to wait for the draw for the Abbey, and normally you do. But Moving Time has won twice and finished second twice over this course and distance. And they've been from boxes 8, 6, 12, and then 3 the other day at Longchamp. So for everyone else, the draw is a bonus. For Moving Time, he doesn't give a monkeys. He just loves it over this course and distance. He's, what, 10-1? He's never been out the front two. He was in a perfect position the other day when he won a trial for the race, and he quickened up nicely down the rail. But I just don't really... for Moving Time, it doesn't really matter. As long as he gets the look, it doesn't matter where he's drawn. So I think 10-1, he's a great angle in.
All right, Moving Time then. In the Abbey, did we see a classic heroine at Newmarket or the Curragh over the weekend?
No, I don't think we did, no. I mean, Lumiere, I love Lumiere. She's a fantastic horse. Again, you look at the Cheveley Park the past decade, I think it's 7 of the 10 winners made all the running. Again, it's the horses that get on the speed and have the race run to suit. It's very much a taking the bull by the horns kind of approach that works at Newmarket at this time of year. And that's exactly what Lumiere did. Becherard was a bit squeezed up. Illuminate had to switch to the inside to challenge. I thought she was given a great ride. Everything went well. She was really impressive the way she knuckled down when a rivals had come. But I just don't think it's a Guineas winning performance. And even less so for Coolmore at the Curragh. Again, she was impressive enough within the context of the race. But there'll be something better in the Guineas next year for sure.
All right.
So I'm going with no.
Okay, no for that one. And of the Colts, anything strike you as a likely Guineas or Derby winner?
I don't know. The one that keeps frustrating me is Foundation. I still can't work out how good he is. He's won 3. He's not really beat a lot in either, but he keeps doing everything wrong and winning easily. He beat Deauville the other day, who... I think he will be a stouter stayer. I think he will probably be more a Derby horse. Foundation will probably be more a Guineas horse. But again, horses that keep doing things wrong and then going on to win again do impress me. So there's something about Foundation. I've been against him every single time he's run, and he's won. So eventually you've got to concede defeat and say fair enough. Shalar, again, I just don't know. He's got all the hallmarks of being an incredibly... speedy juvenile, so I would worry a little bit next year. So Foundation would be the one I would keep an eye on, just because, as I said, he keeps doing things wrong and he keeps winning, which is pretty impressive in itself.
Final question of this week's Monday Jury: what did you make of Simple Verse and Secret Gesture appeal results?
Well, Simple Verse, to begin with, I didn't think she should have lost the race at the start. Again, it depends what you're asking me, whether I think they should have lost the race or whether they should have lost the race due to the rules, because they're two different things. I thought the Simple Verse Bondi Beach thing was half a six of one, half dozen of the other. I think the main thing was I didn't understand why everyone was clambering down that rail when Doncaster's a pretty wide straight.
Yeah.
It's a classic. There's only three of you in there, really, with a chance. What are you all doing over there? So, it, like I said, I thought it was six of one, half dozen of the other. I don't think Bondi Beach would have gone by, personally. So I think she should have kept the race. But, you know, the rules, I don't know. It's hard to work out what the rules are. Because it's just, if the rules can't be open to interpretation, but they are.
Yeah.
You can't have rules that are open to interpretation. It's the same way that, you know, you're either offside or you're not. It's either you either denied them a winning opportunity,
yeah,
or you didn't.
Yeah.
And secret gesture, I thought it was absurd, secret gesture. I thought it was even more absurd. She just seemed to simply jinked and spooked the horse. There was no. I should, personally, never in a million years would I have made her lose it. But everyone says, oh, well, at least based on the rules in America, she should have lost it. But I personally think most of the time, the best horse wins in those instances. I would have had them both as winners and kept it that way. So, but that's me.
That's you. And that's Ross's Monday Jari for another week then. Let's move on. Let's get stuck into Tuesday's action. Ross has got four races for us. He's going to look at three races at Ayr and one from Wolverhampton. So we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll start with the action at Ayr. The first race that we have here is the 210, which is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for three-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 14 here. Ross, which one do you side with in there?
There's quite a few of them, but I'm going to go with Elphebe, who Michael Dodds has had a good time of it this season with, although Archie's Advice will be the other one. So probably Elphebe and Archie's Advice, but this is a really good race, good money on the table, likes of Gwarn. Likes it round here. Cosmic Halo's very well handicapped for an informed yard as well. Haymarket's been having a good season. Dark Amber's likely to have a chance as well. But I'll go with Elphebe, who won at Nottingham in a good race back in July, and then first visit to Ripon last month wasn't so good, but I think he's better here. And Archie's Advice as well. He was entered in a claimer the other day, which suggests they don't think he's particularly well handicapped. But again, 10 furlongs at this track seems perfect for him. He could come with a withering late run. But Elphebe first choice, Archie's Advice the alternative.
Couple to consider there then from Ross in the 210. The 425 at Ayr is a Class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, a field of 14 in this one as well. And we'll start here with Petockside, who arrives here in pretty good form, you could say.
Yeah, again, another really good race at Ayr. Petockside has won his last two at Goodwood in softish ground. A bit of a different ass today, but he's relatively versatile. But the thing about Ayr is you get a lot of Southern Raiders coming up and they find that the locals hold all the aces. You've got loads of course and distance winners. Ancient Cross calls the Eye of the Day. Blue Sonic loves it here. Jinky's been in good form as well, even though he's not the easiest horse to win with. Circuitous went close the other day. But I'm going to side with Ustinov, who hasn't been with David O'Mara long. Shaped encouragingly on its first start for the Eye of the Day over at Redcar, finishing third behind Buccaneers Vault. Now, Edgar Balthazar, who finished second that day, went on to finish second in a much better race at next time out. Tango Sky, who was fifth, got beaten a nose in a better race as well. I think that form's solid. I think Ustinov's got more to come. He's a lightly raced three-year-old, and he should have conditions to suit.
Ustinov for Ross, then. In the 4:25, the 5 o'clock at Ayr is where we go next. This one is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Edgar Balthazar has been in pretty good form, knocking on the crossbar the last twice, but in good races. So is this a good chance to get back to winning ways?
Probably, yeah. Although, again, he's not a particularly easy horse to win with himself. He does tend to hit the frame without getting his nose in front at the best time, most of the time. He burst out of the pack at Newcastle before he really had a chance to think about it. But at Redcar and Catterick, he did have a chance to think about it and he didn't quite go through with his effort. So again, if you're a place potting, he's the first one on the list, without a shadow of a doubt. But it's going to be a run at a good clip, so that should suit him. Rodrigo de Torres and Ralphie Boyle go off in front, and there should be another couple up there as well. I'm going to go with Art Obsession each way, who was down the field at Haydock over 6 furlongs last time out. But it's good to see him back up to 7. His best form comes over this trip. And he's been racing mainly in sprints on his last few starts. He finished second over course and distance back in May to a resurgent Lothair, and that form is more than good enough to win this. So I'll go with Art Obsession.
Art Obsession at airing there 5 o'clock. Then the 6:40 at Wolverhampton is where we finish. This is a class 4 handicap over a mile and 1.5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, a field of 13 here. Some interesting ones in there as well, some lightly raced 3-year-olds that could go on to better things.
Yeah, you've got the 3-year-old brigade and you've got the older horse brigade. Gold Hunter, the old horse brigade, ran well the other day. Beluska loves it round here. Garach has been in good nick this season. Then you've got the younger horses. Fadwar, who I didn't think won much of a maiden on its first start and then was disappointed last time out. Onda District, who galloped them into submission at Newcastle last time out. But again, got a really good toe into the race and I'm not entirely sure how good he is. So I'm going to go with Sky Cape, Charlie Appleby's charge. Bolted up, beat Onda District by 8 lengths at Pontefract. And then last time out at Chelmsford was very keen in front and was beaten pretty much bang on the line by Ocean Applause. I think that was a very rock-solid effort from Skyscape, and I get the feeling he got in a bit of a duel with his main market rival and that softened him up. So if Box 10 isn't too bad for him, I think Skyscape will be bouncing back to winning ways.
Skyscape then for us in the 6:40 at Wolverhampton. As usual, let's just have a little bit of a summary. If you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yep, I'll go for Elphebe in the 2.10, although Archie's Advice should have a chance as well. Ustinov in the 4.25 for David O'Mara. Art Obsession each way in the 5 o'clock, and then Sky Cape in the 6.40.
Superb. Good work, Ross. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
You too, Mark. You too, buddy.
There you go. The thoughts of Ross Briley on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Sam Turner, Andy Holding and Ollie Pimlott will be the team in the studio. We've got Racing on the Turf Air, National Hunt action from Sedgefield and Southwell, and an evening on the all-weather at Wolverhampton. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.